topic. This is, I believe, my memory serves me right. This is the first time that I have this close to addressing the tzibur in this. At this time, the famous 10-15 Moser slot that was made famous by Rabbi Rapidolsky Zatzal. And I hope, as Rat Hashem, I'll be able to math this, at least chatzi the amount that he was able to math this into the lave of not only myself, but to so many Talmidim throughout the years when Rapidolsky was alive. And Bezrat Hashem, it should be a schus for Alila Neshama for him, and also for Alila Neshama of all the Kedoshim, the eight Kedoshim who are killed, whatever it was, 7 years, 8 years ago, tonight, the first night of Rosh Chodesh Adar in Merkaz Arav, it should be Alila Neshama for them. Right. We get to these Parshias, Truma Tetzava, get a break with Kisiza, Bayakal Bakudei. The parshas that we have a very hard time of finishing Shnai Mikra with. Okay? And Be'amet, it is difficult to connect to the Korbanos, to connect to the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishkan, the Big Day Kahuna, it's a little bit more difficult. But there's a lot to learn if one opens their eyes and tries to connect and learn the Divrei Chazal from these great parshas. One lesson that I remember hearing from someone else, another Rebbe of mine who used to stand here at 10-15 slot, also. He asked the following question, the Kruvim, that sat on top of the Arum, the holiest vessel that we had, in the holiest place in the world, over there in Harabayis, in the desert, it was in the Mishkan. The Arum sat upon these Kruvim with the face of young children. Why do we have young children sitting on top of the Aron which held the Luchas Abris, the Torah? What's this coming to teach us? So it's coming to teach us the following. A lot of people have different shotim on this, why the Kruvim were pnei of young children. But I heard the pshat was that young children, as they're developing, whatever you matas and whatever the parents give to them, it automatically sinks in. You're teaching them things that don't have years upon years of brainwashedness and thinking like that and thinking this. They take in everything that was provided to them. And when someone wants to learn the Torah, which is represents the arrow, someone wants a Torah and wants to learn what the Torah is all about, you have to go in with a clear mind like a young child. If you go into the pre-construed thoughts, and I think this or I think that, and then you try and fit your own ideals and ideas into the Torah, that's not real Torah for us. And I ask you, when you're sitting here tonight, to try and come in as a young child without preconceived notions, and try and open up our minds to try and hear some Divrei Chizik, to try and Bezrat Hashem raise us to a little bit of a higher level. The pasuk in the sixth parsha, maybe the most famous pasuk in the sixth parsha, says, "Vasuli mikdash v'shachanti b'tocham." You should make for me a mikdash, so I can dwell into it. V'shachanti b'tocham, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we all know this is the mitzvah of building the Beis HaMikdash, building the Mishkan, and we rebuild it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will come; He will dwell there. And for many years, I probably ran into it sometime a long time ago, but I always thought, and sometimes the Kodesh Baruch gives you a little bit of a kiss. Tonight I happened to open a random sefer, and I found this vort, B'Shem Rav Chaim Volozhin, in the Nefesh HaChaim. V'asuli mikdash v'shachati v'dochon. Obviously, Poshe Pshat is talking about the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishkan. We build that, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu v'shachati v'dochon, he'll dwell amongst B'nei Israel. But when we read this pasuk, we have to realize, Vasuli Mikdash, if you make yourself a Mikdash, Vishachanti B'Tocham, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will dwell inside of each one of us. We are all our own Mikdash. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us as holy people, with a holy neshama.
And if we treat it, and we do the Torah mitzvos, and we make ourselves holy, basuli mikdash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'shechanti b'tocham, He wants to rest inside of us. He wants to dwell inside of us. Well, if we're not that person, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is boreach, He doesn't want part of us. The obvious question is, how in the world do we get to such a level? How do we get to a level that doesn't just come automatically? Vasuli mikdash v'shachanti b'tocha. So if we break apart this little short pasuk of v'shachanti b'tocha, we have three words before this: vasu li mikdash. Vasu. What is vasu? And this is the first level. Vasu is someone who does. As Rav Natan spoke at the beginning of the year, if you remember, to one of the first in Shabbosim, anyone who thinks he's going to come to yeshiva and is automatically going to enter into that phone booth and all of a sudden he's going to come, this awesome guy, the best learner, he's kidding himself. Vasu, you have to do, you have to want. You have to take it with your own hands, you have to go after it. There's no such thing as being lazy, but yet then succeeding in Torah. There's no such thing. You have to work hard. You have to put in the hours. You have to have ben astarim. You have to do it late at night. Things that are important to you, you're going to go ahead and do it. It's not difficult. You have to have the vasu. You have to go ahead and do. That's the first ingredient. Let's put the second word, li, off to the side. We'll come back to that then. Kodesh. Mikdash. Vasuli mikdash. We have to make ourselves holy. What does this mean? So number one, we have to realize how great we are, how great a potential we say every day in the morning, Elokai shena shama shena tata bi tahorei. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has put inside of us a holy neshama. We are all intrinsically holy people. That's how we're born. That's the way it would be if we wouldn't mess it up. And we say it every day, Shna Tatvi Tahori, Mefachtabi. He breathed it inside of us. We have a chelik of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. We have a chelik of a Kaddish Baruch Hu inside of us. It's there. That makes us automatically holy. And it's just our job to bring out this holiness. It's our job to bring out our potential of how great we could be. Avram Avinu. The great Avram Avinu. He went through 10 Yisyonos. He jumped into a burning hot furnace. Came out alive. At 3 years old, he went after and sought out a Kodesh Baruch Hu. In a world that didn't believe in God, or didn't believe in one God at least. He smashed the psalim. He went lech lecha, he left his family. He went to Mitzrayim afterwards because of the famine. Test after test after test. No children. Hagar. Gets to the final test, Avraham Avinu, of Akedas Yitzchak. At least according to some Rishonim. That's the final test. Akedas Yitzchak. And he goes, he's willing to slaughter his son. And a voice comes out from Shemayim. He says, Avram, Avram. What's the double lashon of Avram, Avram? Says the Yalkut Shimoni, after 137 years of being Avraham Avinu, that means from 3 years old to 137 years old, of constantly working in just Avodas Hashem, Machnis Orchim, Chesed, bringing the world to understand what a Kadosh Baruch Hu is, Kiru V'chalkim, that was what Avraham Avinu's life was. Doesn't matter if they're Bris Milah, anytime he was willing to do. But only when he reaches the level of 137 years and he's willing to, Shech the son, comes out the voice and says, Avram, Avram. Says the Yalkut Shimoni, at this point, what's the stubble lashon of Avram? the image of Avram Avinu, Lamala, that HaKadosh Baruch had Lamala. It was the same image of Avram Avinu Lamata. That means at that point he was able to reach the godly understanding of what Avram Avinu was. That means if Avram Avinu stopped after the ninth, and he didn't do Akedas Yitzchak, Avram Avinu would not have reached his potential. He wouldn't have become the Avram Avinu that we all know. He would have been great. But he wouldn't have been Avram Avinu. He would not have been able to reach that level of meeting the Avram Avinu Lamala as the same Avram Avinu Lamata. Chevro, it's not just by Avram Avinu. In Shemayim rests that image of Kodesh Baruch Hu's Kisei HaKavod, of every single Moshe, of every single Yehuda, of Yonasan, of every single guy in this Beis Medrash has that godly image upstairs. And we're trying to reach that godly image. That's what we're here in this world for. Elokai neshama shatata bi taori. We are pure. We're holy people. We have to realize that holiness. We have to realize that greatness in order to try and get to that point. And at that level, that we could say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made Avram Avram, Moshe Moshe, Yonatan Yonatan. It's a famous story, maybe that some of you heard, of the Netziv's upbringing. The great Netziv of Volozhin, the Rosh Yeshiva of Volozhin. The Netziv grew up, and at 9-10 years old, his father had a meeting in the living room with his mother late at night. And his father says, I don't know what to do with our Natali Tzvi. No matter what we do, tutors, extra time, extra attention, buy him gifts. He's just unable to get into the learning. He's not the student. His father's crying. Says it must be we get that level at that time, 9-10 years old, you're not going to learn, you send him off to work. Naftali Tzvi, the great Netziv, came running into the living room when he heard his father talking to his mother. And he said, Abba Tati, give me one more chance. The Netziv told over this story as he was making a Sudas Hadah on the writing of the great Emek Shaila of the Netziv. He gathered together all the Talmidim, all his family members, and made a great Sudas Hadah. And at the Sudas Hadah, the Netziv tells the story about when he was a child of 9 years old. And then he turns to the Talmidim and he says, you know what? If that story never happened, and I didn't run to my father that day, you know what? I would have been a great, honest Balei Bais. I would have become good in business, honest in business, kept the basic Torah mitzvahs. And you know what would have happened? After 120, I would have gone up to Shemayim, and I would have standing before the base of the Gadol, and I would have been patting myself on the back, and all ready for this great din. I'm an honest guy, I did well in business. And the Malachim would stand there and say, Naftali Tzvi, where's the Emek Shaila? Where's the Meshiv Dovar? Where's Volozhin Yeshiva? And Naftali Tzvi would have looked at the Malachim and said, I don't know what you're talking about. And then they would have shown him the image of his godliness that God had for him up in Shemayim. The image of the great Netziv and what he could have become. L'kai neshama shenatata bi tahorihi. But I'm going to share with you tonight my favorite vort. from them is Liankiv, from Yaakov Kamenetsky. We all know the story just a couple weeks ago, Parsha. Moshe Rabbeinu was born, and he sent down, floating down. After just a few months old, Miriam's watching. Bas Pyro picks him up, calls him Moshe, brings him to the Mitzri woman, and the Mitzri woman cannot feed Moshe Rabbeinu. He won't take their milk. And so finally, Bas Pyro, Batya, turns to Miriam and says, "Get me a Jewish woman who could nurse this baby," and he brings Yocheved. Rashi tells us, what's going on over here? Rashi says, the same mouth that's going to talk to the Shechina with Chas V'Shalom nurse from a Goyish woman, from a Mitzri woman. No way. That's from Yaakov Kamenetsky. In Yoredeya Simon Peyalef Siv Zayin, this halacha from Moshe Rabbeinu is paskin halacha lamaisa. If someone is a child and the mother can't nurse the baby, you can't go and get him a mitzris woman. Don't get him a goyish woman to feed from. If there's no one else, kuach nevish v'seder. But you first have to try and find her a Jewish woman. Says the Gra, what's the makor for this din in Shulchan Aruch? Is that medrash, that Rashi over there by Moshe Rabbeinu? That's from Yaakov Kamenetsky, it's a pillow. Why is this a din in Shulchan Aruch? How can you learn from Moshe Rabbeinu? Rashi tells us the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu was unable to nurse from the mitzvah woman, because the same mouth that's going to talk to the Shechina, that's going to stand in front of Kadosh Baruch Hu, panim al panim, and talk to the Shechina, the same mouth that's going to go ahead and nurse from a mitzvah woman, no way. What is that kashur to every one of us? What is that kashur to every child that's born? He's not Moshe Rabbeinu. Says Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. The halacha is telling us a big mussar and chinuch for every one of us and every father to teach us that you think your son can't be Moshe Rabbeinu, he could be Moshe Rabbeinu. Any child that's born in Klal Yisrael has the potential to speak ponim al ponim in Kadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore every child that's born, no matter who's the mother, no matter what yichus he has, is not supposed to meet the nurse from the mitzvah woman. Because who knows what's going to happen 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years later. Perhaps he's going to be the next Gadol B'Torah who's going to be able to speak panim al panim just like Moshe Rabbeinu. And it's paskin in Shulchan Aruch. We have to ask ourselves then. We're so holy. We're such a godly people. How in the world do we fall so far? Yes, we've been learning Torah for a whole 3-4 months maybe. For Shana Bet, a year and 3-4 months perhaps. So we're all reached these high madrigas. But if we all have a chilek, Kadosh Baruch Hu Ma'al, how is it that we fell so low? Kadosh Baruch Hu asked the same question to Adam Arishon. After Adam Arishon eats from the Eis Hadas, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Ayeka, which literally means, where are you? But as Chazal interprets Ayeka, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not asking, where are you, Adam Rishon? He was asking him, how in the world could this happen to you? One moment you're on the highest Madrega, You have the whole world. You have all Gan Eden.
He fell to such low levels so quickly.
Kodesh Baruch Hu was saying, Ayaka, where are you, Adam Rishon? How could you let this happen to you? Which brings us to the last word. V'asu li. What's li? V'asu li miktash. Rashi says, li lishmi, for my sake. Lishma, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's sake. Ayeka, how we fall to such levels? Because we live in a generation and we live in a world where there's only one Li, and that's me. To do something for the sake of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for the sake of something that's not for my own selfish reasons, no way. We only need one Ani. It's my image. The image I portray out to the rest of the world. And if we think to ourselves, how much of our lives, how much of our time, how much of our brain power is spent working on that image? We might get to scary conclusions. And it trickles into our Avodas Hashem all the time. Our Avodas Hashem, that's our learning, and it's our davening, and it's the way we go to dress in the morning. And it's even when we go to chesed. It's all around all of our behaviors. It's constantly thinking about ourselves. What am I going to look like? It doesn't necessarily have too much to do with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. How many times do we say, I want to do this mitzvah just because the Kaddish Baruch Hu wanted me to do it? Without any alternative motives. How many times are we in a competition with our friends? And that's what's driving me. Yes, Kina Sofren Kar Chochma. But at the end of the day, we have to have some li. Lishmi, l'shem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not your fault. It's unfortunately the world we live in. We live in a world that everything is focused on me. The social media is overwhelming. The Facebooks and the Instagrams, Snapchats. It's sickening. And we let it in so easily. It's a part of our lives. And it becomes part of us. It goes to something nice, to something that I need. What are people thinking about me? What's that person doing? What's this person doing? How in the world can we have any lead? How can we have any world of thinking of what just the Kaddish Baruch Hu wants from me? How often do we ever think about that? It's the instant gratification the world sells us. The pornography. The lack of tznius. If you think about it, in 30 seconds on the internet, or even a minute walk down any busy street, we see more pretzels than our great grandparents did in a lifetime in Europe. In a lifetime. It just becomes part of our lives. And we're constantly thinking, how can I get more instant gratification? And more, and more, and more. And the next pleasure. And the next pleasure. I'll have to admit this week, with my wife in the room, the first time I was on an internet without a filter in a long time. Talking about a very long time. You can't be on it. There's certain things that even though the world sells it to us, and even though we're officially part of the modern world, they're just not okay. It's not okay to look at scantily clad women. It's just not. There's no heter for it. There's certain things that are just not mutter. There is no heter in the world to not put a filter. What's the heter in the world to show off the new car that I got, the new this that I got, the new clothes, and I have to send it out to my friends? There's no heter for these things. We have enough hard and difficult time to be from Yidim without these pressures. The only way I'm trying to combat these things is realize Elokai Neshama Shnatata Be Tahori, we're holy people. Kodesh Baruch Hu loves us. Kodesh Baruch Hu wants to dwell with us. He wants to shachati b'tocham. We have to realize we're above these things. Klal Yisrael, the holy nation, the nation that said Nasa v'nishma on Har Sinai, we're above these things. We're greater. It's too low for us. It's lowly ways of living. To not control myself, what I watch is animalistic. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us this holy, unbelievable high neshama so we can live above these things. Yes, the world tries feeding us, but we could say no. Our holy image upstairs of our Moshe, our Yosef, our Binyamin, our Eitan, our Avram is waiting for us. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu is saying, Ayeka, how could you let us fall so hard? What are we doing to ourselves? The last thing we have to realize, Vasuli Mikdash V'Shachanti B'Tocham, it's not only on the Mikdash, it's not only in ourselves, but as all the Mephorshim talk about, the base of Mikdash, the Mishkan, as we all chayv to build Bezrat Hashem one day, but in the meantime, our homes that we're going to build, only a couple years down the road for most of you. It's not that far. It's your own Mikdash Ma'at. With our own Shulchan and our own Menorah and our Svarim. we're all going to be building this mikdash. And we're going to be raising our little young kinderlach in this mikdash. And we have to ask ourselves, is this going to be a mikdash that's going to be built, that's going to have the shachanti b'tochan? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to dwell in this house? Or it's a chas shalom, going to be a house of fighting and jealousy, and let in all the things that we all know we shouldn't be letting into that mikdash? Would you bring these things into the base of mikdash? Would you bring it to the mishkan? You're all building your own base of mikdash, your own mishkan. All of the chiv, our own personal chiv, each one individual, to try and realize this potential, to try and figure out what our tafkid is. And each one's different. It doesn't mean everyone's going to be cut out for learning. It doesn't mean that you can't find your own niche of bringing Jews closer to Yiddishkeit. There's many people who are in the business world, in a very difficult business world, who are mekadeshin shemayim every day. But it takes a lot of viasu. It takes a lot of hard work. A lot of li of doing it for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's sake. And it takes a lot of thought of what part of Western society that we're going to let in and which parts to cut out. And even if you see there's some people who might be looked upon in high regard that are involved with all these things, it's a question on them, it's not a question on what I'm saying. Because at the end of this day, Vasuli Mikdash, are we going to let in the nakedly clad women all over the different types of screens in this mikdash? Are we going to let in all types of devices that we probably could do without? Because we're going to ask ourselves one day, will we let our children, will we want our children doing the same things that we've been doing? And for many of us, we're honest enough to know that if our parents knew what we were doing, or what we used to be doing, we would never, ever let our children be doing those things. And guess what? HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels the same way about His children. He never, ever wants His children doing those same things. Srat Hashem, guys. Elokai neshama shnatata bi tahorahi. You have a holy neshama. You have a holy potential. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put us each individually to riff for a reason. For a reason to help Klal Yisrael. To a reason to help the next generation. Because we have to realize we are the future. As scary as that is the truth. Is walking down the halls that we used to do. The night of Crown Jewish Academy, there used to be a big banner up that says, I don't know if it's still there, through these halls walks the future leaders of B'nai Yisrael. Walking down those halls, that's a very scary thought. But, in the end of the day, it's true. And all you guys are those leaders, and are those future. So Bezrat Hashem, it can only start if you realize your potential. Only realize that you realize that how much we have, how much our HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving, and how far we could go. And Bezrat Hashem, when we get upstairs after the 120, we will all be able to see that image of the HaKadosh Baruch Hu upstairs will be that same image that we left downstairs with. Bezrat Hashem, have a Shabbat Shalom.